Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I may be weak, but God will never fail. Amen. His Spirit lives in us. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, that though our flesh may get weak, though our minds may grow weary, through our circumstances of life, yet your Spirit lives on the inside of us. You've promised you'd never leave us nor forsake us. We've given our hearts over to you. You live on the inside of us. So, Lord, we thank you for that peace. We thank you for that knowledge of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. Lord, we give you glory this morning. We thank you, Lord. This morning and every day, we thank you that we are not bound to our old life. We're not bound to our old habits. We're not bound to our old nature. Lord, we thank you. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. We thank you as we open in your word right now, Lord, that you speak to us. Holy Spirit, you are the great teacher, that you come forth through your word. You take the logos, make it rhema for our individual situations and circumstances in our life. We thank you that even as the word is being brought forth this morning, that healings will take place. Physical healings, yes. Mental refreshings, yes. Deliverances, Lord God. Even those who are watching right now by Facebook or on the internet, Lord, we thank you. There's no distance in the Spirit. We thank you that you are moving across this planet. We're excited, so excited to be part of it, to be called to minister for you, for your kingdom. Lord, I thank you that these people are well aware of the fact that they are a sending house. They're a gathering, a discipling, a maturing, and ascending out house and gathering and doing it all over again. So, Lord, I thank you for vision being imparted this morning, Lord God, as we join with those 40,000 other churches across America to focus on next Sunday and bringing people on in who never darked the door of a church before, Lord, but through relationship, family relationship, friendship relationship, work relationship. Lord, give us boldness even this week to provoke them to come with us to this house of God, Lord, to come and to hear the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. And we thank you again, Holy Spirit. You are the teacher this morning. Amen. Amen. You agree with that? Yes? All three of you agree with that. Okay, I'm going to work on the rest of you, the other 97%. So as we've shared, as we've been talking about all so far today, that there is a national Back to Church Day that's taking place. What makes that special? Every day should be a national Back to Day Church, right? Or Back to Church Day. We should all be focusing on that, because coming back to church isn't coming back to a religion. It's coming back to a house where you can develop your relationship with Jesus Christ and each other. Amen. Amen. That's what it's about. And the church is more than just the four walls, but we want to see these four walls filled to overflowing, because the more people that are in here, the more people are getting discipled, the more people are going out, the more people are ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes. And then more people are being touched in the community. More people are being born again. More people are becoming disciples themselves. Yes. Amen. So that's why we're excited about this time of the year. I'm so excited just thinking about everything that God's been doing just since the turn of the year here. We had the outpouring that took place down in Asbury. And again, like it was in the 70s, there was the Jesus People outpouring that just swept across the whole nation. And part of that was the Asbury thing, but things were already happening over on the West Coast. Things were happening on the East Coast where I was at. God was already moving. I went and saw a Jesus Freak concert back in 1972. And they, you know, it was so fresh at that time. You know, they were singing James Taylor and Carole King songs and Roberta Flack and having to change the lyrics a little bit and making it to fit for Christianity, because there was no real Christian music, no contemporary Christian music. But God blew over the face of the disenfranchised, the misunderstood, the ones who didn't trust any society around them. Come on. And God blew over all of those and touched many of us that were in churches in the same time who were dissatisfied with the status quo. And so God is doing a new thing. I'm going to say new thing. New thing. Now, it's not new to God. There's nothing new under the sun, according to the book of Ecclesiastes. But it may be new to you. And it may be new to me. And it may be new to our culture. And it may be new to our nation. But God is doing a new thing. And I just have a word here this morning that we're not waiting for renewal. We're not waiting for revival. We're not waiting for reformation. It has already begun. We're not waiting for an awakening. It has already begun. We may not be aware of it. Come on. We can be walking through a situation, not be aware of everything that's going on. You ever been in some place where there's a turmoil going over in some place, some corner, there's a fight going over here, and you're just oblivious walking through because you're not paying attention? But see, if we were paying attention, we'd understand the day and the hour that we're in right now. God is on the move. God has always been on the move, but his people are finally participating with him. And so I'm excited at this time in this hour, because I've been prophesying it since 1984 that there would be another powerful outpouring of the Holy Spirit that would be upon the youth, but not just the youth. It would cover all ethnos. Come on. It would cover all ages. God would pour forth His glory. You know, it's a you can have revival, and only the people that are involved in it know it's a revival. But then you can have a reformation where the whole society knows that God is on the move and He's doing something. So right after Asbury was happening, what was happening? Jesus Revolution film came out, chronicling a small part of what God was doing in the late 60s and early 70s on the West Coast. But like I said, God was moving. God was moving here in the 80s. I remember God moving in Elkhart. I remember hearing about a kid that one of the local high schools here in town, and I believe it was Elkhart, might have been Goshen, but it was one of these two down here. And I remember hearing in the early 80s that they were doing Jesus Christ Superstar, and the kid got born again, and when he was up on the cross and he was being crucified in Jesus Christ Superstar, the power of God fell into place, and kids were getting saved in the hallways in the school. God was pouring. This was even in the 80s, you know, the dry 80s. Because the revival was supposedly in the early 70s and the late 60s. God is always moving if He can find a people who want to move with Him and let Him move and get out of His way and cooperate with Him. And so I was emboldened and excited about the fact that the Jesus Revolution film came out. And then a couple weeks later, there was the Come Out in Jesus' Name film. Anybody go to that one? Did you come out in Jesus' name? Did demons manifest in the theater when you were there? I had a pastor friend of mine. Some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. There was a movie, and basically, correct me if I'm wrong, it was just basically filming a bunch of deliverances. And then they played it in a movie theaters all across the nation, and then the guy came and piped in the last 30 minutes, the pastor out of Nashville, I believe it's Nashville, came in and piped in a deliverance message. And a pastor friend of mine was up in Muskegon, Michigan, and evidently they hadn't set up anything ahead of time. And so all of a sudden, when the pastor started commanding demons to manifest and come out of people, in the movie theater, demons started to manifest and come out of people. And people were rolling around on the floor, foaming at the mouth. Demons were screaming in the movie theater. And my pastor friend said, and I thought, well, surely they've ahead of time set up that there's counselors here to go down and minister to these people. No. So he got drafted right then and there to go down and cast the devils out of these people who were manifesting. We live in a spiritual world, whether you realize it or not. The demons in America, many of them have been medicated. Okay? They've just been suppressed, but they're still there. You go, like we've gone to third world countries, and some of you have been privileged to go over and see places, and you'll see they'll chain somebody up to a tree that's demon possessed because they can't deal with them. I mean, it's out front in your face. You know what I'm talking about, sister. You've probably seen it over in Africa too. The same type of thing. We've seen it. You know what? Well, you got to get ready. Not be afraid. Come on, because greater is He that's in me than he that's in the
world.
And if a devil, and you don't go chasing after devils.
That's
come on. But if they're dumb enough to manifest in front of you, then you have the power and authority to cast them out. You notice Jesus never chased a devil?
No.
But if they were dumb enough to manifest in His presence, what did He do? He didn't get all freaked out about it. He just said, come out. He didn't say, come out in Jesus' name, because He was Jesus. He just said, come out.
Amen.
So we say, come out in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what's that got to do with this? Back to church. Back to church. National back to church. Guess what? People who come back to church who aren't born again, or even those who are backslidden, or those who are just really unchurched, they can bring some yuckies with them. Come on. They can bring some spirits with them. But you know what? Greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. And we should be excited about the fact that people are going to get delivered. Come on. We should be excited about the fact that wherever you go and all of a sudden demons start manifesting, that you have the power and authority to deal with that situation. You don't have to call Pastor Janet and Leonard in the middle of the night and say, come on over here and cast this devil out of somebody. They'll say, well, are you not a believer of Jesus? Do you not have the Holy Spirit living on the inside? Do you not understand the scriptures? Do you not understand that the Bible says that believers will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover? And they, in my name, they will cast out devils? In my name, you have that power and authority to do that yourself? Say, myself. I guess what I'm saying to us church folk is, it's time to step up. Step up to the plate and do what God's called us to do always and for decades in your life. Some of you came on in early on, 40 years ago, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, and came into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And you saw some wild things at that time. But then you know what? We mature. You know another word for mature? Rot. What is mature fruit? What's a mature banana? They're on special in the store. Why? Because they become mature. What does that mean? They're rotten. They're only pretty good for banana bread, maybe. Right at that point. So that's what mature means. I want a mature New York sirloin. Or whatever, strip, whatever it is. What does that mean? It means it's been hanging in the back room rotten. That's what, and you pay extra for that. So you began to mature and you forgot about your first love, your first works. You forgot about all the things God's called you, say me, to do. Ephesians tells us that he's created works for you and I to do. Before the foundation of the world, Jesus set up stuff for you to do in your life. He set up things for you to do. Work simply means corresponding action following behind you as you're walking in faith. That's what a work is. Signs follow believers. Signs follow the preaching of the word. All right. Have we looked at a Bible verse yet?
No.
All right. But I've been quoting some. John chapter 3, and you all have this one memorized if you've been around very long. Even football players have it on their helmets. Make t-shirts about it. Come on. John 3:16, what's it say, church? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Let's go back and look at that for a second. You know, you could preach on that for weeks and illumination would come out of there, nuances would come forward from it. But let's just look at this again, and we don't have time to get in a lot of context, but I believe you're Bereans around here. You study the scriptures for yourself. You don't just say, oh, well, that preacher said it, so it must be true. Come on. You don't fall for that. You say, that preacher said it, I believe it's true because he's a man of God, but I'm going to look it up myself and take it for myself and appropriate it for myself. Amen. And apply it in my life and then act on it. So one more time, look at it. God so loved the
world.
Who?
The world.
The whole world. God loved the whole world, not just you and I, not just church folk, not just certain ethnic groups. God loved the whole world, not just the rich folks. Come on, James had something to say about that. Don't be treating rich folks special. Come on, he doesn't just love the poor, those in poverty. He came for the whole world. God loved the world and everyone in the world that he gave his life. He gave his son, his firstborn son, his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him, who? Who's the him? Come on, tell me, church. Who's the him? Jesus. You see what I'm doing right now? I'm showing you how to tell somebody about Jesus through John 3:16. You catching that? All right. God so loved you that he gave his son, Jesus, that whoever believes on Jesus will not perish. And that's eternal damnation. That's eternal separation from God. Shall not perish, but will have eternal life. You will live forever. You know, there's a lot of people that want to become atheists because when you die and it's over with. They're going to have a rude awakening when they die. Because you can believe that all you want to, but that doesn't change fact. You know, I can believe all day long. If I wet my finger and stick it in a live socket, I'm not going to be shocked. What do you think is going to happen if I wet my finger and I stick it in a live socket? My faith is going to cause me not to be shocked. No, I'm going to be shocked. And how stupid for me to be shocked about being shocked. Because I did something dumb, like pretend that there's no eternity. Hello? That this world is all there is. That's a dumb thing. Well, only get around once, so grab all the gusto while you can. Well, yeah, I guess you better. If you plan to make your eternity away from God and you're going to spend it. Anyway. Should not perish, but have everlasting. And notice it doesn't say everlasting death, everlasting depression. Everlasting, you know, oh, you know, it's such a drudge to be a Christian. Oh, it's so hard work. Why? Why? Why is it hard work to be a Christian? He already did the work. Who did the work for you to be a Christian?
Jesus.
Hello, come on. Be like the little Sunday school kid who didn't know the answer, but he always said Jesus. All right. Who parted the Red Sea? Jesus. Well, kind of. Okay, Jesus is the correct answer in almost every question, right? Everlasting life. He did all the hard work. We receive it. Now we walk in what he's already finished and he's completed. All right, John 3:16. The good news of Jesus Christ is not meant to be kept to ourselves. Amen. The main message that we have to the world is respond to God's love, respond to his sacrifice, be reconciled to him. And then we share it with others. That is our main message. Come to Christ, respond to his love, his sacrifice upon the tree, and be reconciled, brought back together with him. And then after you're born again, share that with others. That's our main message, and that's the message that's building up to next week, where you're going to be bringing in friends this coming week. Some of you are shy, like I am in the natural. Every time I go to Street Witness or every time I go to open my mouth, I'm praying, God, you know, please use me. God, please anoint me. And I already know I am anointed, and I know He will use me. But everybody understand there's that natural fear, that hesitancy, that trepidation. What if I say something to them about you and they don't like me? Oh, get over yourself, you big baby. There's lots of people that don't like you. Sorry to burst your bubble, but there's lots of people that don't like you already. Tell them about Jesus isn't going to change that. But it might save their life. Okay. The good news is not meant to be kept to ourselves. So again, next week, 40,000 churches across America. So that's why I was telling you about the outpourings in Asbury. You know, there's greater outpourings happening all around the planet right now, even among young people. There's tremendous things happening. I'm trying to think of which country it was in Western Africa where they had something like hundreds of thousands of youth worshiping the Lord. See, we don't hear that on the 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock or 8 o'clock news, but it's happening around the planet right now. God is on the move. Don't miss it. You know, it's so sad. I think about all the people in Jerusalem that missed the day of their visitation because they were too busy doing other things. Jesus came to their town, went through their town, preached in their town, died in their town, crucified in their town, and they only heard about it after the fact because they were not looking for the consolation of Israel to actually come. And they missed the day of their visitation. Say, I'm not gonna miss the day of my visitation. And today is part of that day. Come on, we're in that day of visitation. The final instruction that Jesus gave to his disciples was to go into all the world and invite others to a saving relationship with God. And this happens in our homes, our neighborhoods, our schools, our workplaces, as we demonstrate God's love and his grace and mercy to those who are far from him. There are people that I just don't like. I'll just be honest with you. I don't like what they do. I don't like how they talk. I don't like how they act. But you know what? What's that got to do with it? What's love got to do with it? Do with it. Do with it. What's it? You know... It's a secondhand emotion, according to Tina Turner. Hope she made it to heaven. Hope she did. I want to hear her voice again. But whether I like somebody or not does not change the fact that God loves them. At so much so that he died in their place, not just mine. And I need to get over myself. And you know, it's interesting. I might have told you this story before one of the times I was here. One of my best friends, and it's not Terry Coon, so don't pick on him. But the first time I met him, I was like, I cannot tolerate this guy. He's a Mr. Arrogant Know-It-All. He thinks he knows everything. He's been there, done that, all that type of thing. And I was a younger guy. And you know what? I put my prejudice aside and started to spend time with him. He became one of my best friends. Because we judge by the outward man, don't we? I don't like that. That guy can't possibly be anointed. Look at his hair. What's wrong with my eyebrows? I have two. I make sure I have two. You got me sidetracked. But my point was, if I had stayed with my initial looking at that person, I would have missed out on a blessing that lasted for years. Amen. Because I was in judgment mode, and it says we are not to know each other after the flesh, but after and by the Spirit. I can flow with anybody, anywhere on the planet, if they have the same Spirit that I have. The Holy Spirit. If they name the name of Jesus as the only way to salvation, they're my brother and sister, no matter what the name of their house is over their door. Do you understand? We can worship together. We can magnify God. Okay, I haven't even made it to my first point. All right. The final instruction Jesus gave his disciples was, sit on your butts, build a big building, wait for me to come. Hold on, hold the fort. Is that what Jesus said?
No.
Do you remember what he said? He said, occupy. Occupy infers being busy.
Yeah.
Occupy until I come. And then he says one of those disheartening phrases. He says, when the Son of Man comes back, will he find faith? Will he find any faith? Will he find any faith? And according to James, that means you should have corresponding action to your faith, that you're actually showing yourself that you're saved.
Yes.
And the world around you that you're saved. Our message is simple. Again, we are going to the world, telling the world, respond to God's love and His sacrifice and be reconciled, brought back to Him. Reconciled. There are people in my life through the years that some just drifted away and we were busy in other things and there was no offense taken between us and we get back together and it's wonderful and we wonder, why weren't we together? Why we've missed out on all these years. And then there's other people where we drifted apart and then years later see each other and we're like, I want to stay drifted apart from you still. And then I have to check from the neck up, right? Have I been praying for them? Did I yield and give over my unforgiveness about the situation with them? Or am I still walking in judgment towards them? I'm missing a blessing because that's part of the body of Christ. And it says everybody has something to contribute. Amen. This message is a little bit all over right now. Who, this week, let's just take a moment here. Let's do an exercise. Who in your sphere of influence do you need to share the message of salvation with this week? And if you're too shy to, which is fine. I understand that. I was starting to tell you that about once I open my mouth to the first person and I get past that first person sharing the gospel, then it's like, who's the next victim? Because see, then the anointing begins to flow. Come on, everybody understand? But that first one, it's always a hurdle to get over your flesh fear to begin to share with somebody. So who this week, family member, friend, school, co-worker, who this week, right now, just take a moment. God is going to, I believe, right now, Lord, pop somebody up in their mind's eye right now, or several somebodies that they need to share the message of salvation with and they can invite to come here next week. All right. Everybody get somebody? If not, I'm going to stay here and pray until you do. You can see we all have people in our lives that we could introduce Jesus to. But I tried before. I am so glad that I didn't give up on my natural father. I remember talking to him when I was off at a conference in Texas back in the early mid-80s, and I was trying to explain in a polite way to my elder, my father, salvation, because he'd been raised in denominational high church type setting, and so I was not convinced that he was born again. And I shared with him, and he says, well, that might be okay for you, but I have my own understanding with God. In other words, shut up, you're my kid, and I don't need to listen to you, right? And we were estranged, not because of that, but we were just kind of estranged through distance and everything else like that for 15, 20 years. And then we started getting back together, and God began, during that time, I wasn't the only one, but others were praying for his heart to soften. And I believe he came, I know for a fact that he came into saving knowledge of Jesus Christ because I prayed with him a couple years before he died. But even before that, God began to soften his heart and break his heart because I didn't give up on him even though I had been pushed away. You know, we can talk about anything, but don't you talk about God to me. That's a crutch for you people. See? Come on. Don't allow the denials in the past. Come on. To stop you from reaching out another time. I'm so glad that God didn't. I read the story and it still amazes me that Jesus knew from day one, he's all knowing, he's God, he has word of knowledge, word of wisdom. He knew Judas would betray him, and yet he treated him exactly the same as the other 11 disciples. And right up into the garden, when Judas came in to kiss Jesus and betray him, Jesus said, friend. Come on. Jesus was reaching out to the uttermost, even at the last second. And I believe Judas could have been saved if he had simply fallen on his knees right then and said, I'm sorry, Lord, I blew it, I messed up, I got caught up in money, which he had been stealing the whole time, traveling around with Jesus, right? But Jesus loved him in spite of knowing the stupid things he was doing. Come on, you and I can love each other. Well, I mean, you have to, husbands and wives, come on. And your kids and your families, right? You have to love each other. And you overlook things because of love. Love is the overriding factor here. Okay, anyway. So, John 3:16, the good news. And the end of this verse that we just read tells us anyone who believes that Jesus died for them will be saved from eternal punishment, that separation from God. And belief in this good news results in eternal and everlasting life. And that's too good to share. Jesus had 12 disciples. He had 70 further disciples, and he had the multitudes that followed after him. It's interesting that when he was crucified, there were very few who were still there at the crucifixion. See, some people are fair-weather disciples. But when it starts to cost them something, they fall away. Now, I believe many of them came back into serving Jesus later on. You know, day of Pentecost, we know there were 120 in the upper room, at least, that got filled with the Spirit. So I know that he ministered to all those folks, and they could still serve him and still be the disciple. But disciple means someone who is a student or a pupil, someone who dedicates their time to learning from somebody else. So is that your heart's cry? Is your heart's cry? Part of the reason that we come and we gather together here is to hear the word of the Lord, to hear the scriptures, so that we can be built up together. Come on. That we can be built up together and we'll fulfill the purpose and call of God in our individual lives, which many, many, listen to me, many, many times is only seen through the purpose and call of God in a corporate body. Do you follow that? I know I'm called of God. Yes, every one of us is called of God. But sometimes, some things in our lives will never be realized until we are committed in a corporate body where there's that divine synergy where my gifting and your gifting comes together. Come on, one will put how many to flight? 1,000. Two will put? 2,000? 10,000. There's a divine synergy when we come together with our giftings and callings.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. So, just a quick question. Do you remember the first person that shared the gospel with you?
Yes.
Now, some of you were American heathens. You'd never heard the gospel. You never darkened the door of a church. In some ways, I say, good for you. You didn't have to unlearn all the religious junk I did. Come on, you just did. I'm a sinner. I'm sinning my brains out because that's what sinners do good, sin.
Yes.
All right, now I'm coming to Jesus. I gave sin 100%. So now I'm going to give Jesus 100%. Oh, the Bible says this. I'll believe it. Whereas my religious mindset, and I value the fact that I was raised in churches, okay, and understand. But my religious mindset goes, yeah, it's in there, but my church didn't teach that. Oh, I didn't see it happen in my church with my group of people, so maybe it's not real. You have to work and get rid of the doubt and unbelief, right? Some of you remember who first shared Jesus to you? I remember after I was already born again, I remember some people sharing Jesus and how radical they were and stuff. And I thought, wow, they must really love Jesus. Come on, they're willing to put themselves out there. It seems to me, I heard a story about you like in a choir robe out on the streets witnessing. Come on! Somebody a little bit radical. Just a little radical. I just pictured it. Okay. I remember when I was at Western Michigan University and on the campus and how you'd have these campus preachers come through in the late 70s and stand up on a soapbox and be ridiculed and things thrown at them and stuff like that. And they're just preaching away. And I'm thinking, now the ones that were preaching judgment, I probably would have thrown something at them too. But, you know, you heathen dogs, you're just going to die and go to hell. That kind of stuff. That's not the love of God. That doesn't compel men to come to Christ. It's the kindness of God that leads men to repentance. It's not the judgment of God that leads men to repentance. Now, maybe you came in on the fire insurance plan. I was in churches when I was little where, you know, the fire insurance plan is turn or you'll burn, right? You know, so I turn so I don't burn. But you have to progress beyond that kind of salvation, initial fruit, into a love relationship with Jesus or you won't last long. You'll just become religious and you'll propagate and keep repeating and reproducing the same judgmental type stuff. No, we don't want that. You move into a place where you serve Jesus because you love Jesus, because you start to begin to scratch the surface of the love that he has shown towards us. And he's placed on the inside of us and we want to give it back to him. Come on. So the disciples, disciplined learners after Jesus Christ. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, and you guys could quote this one to me too. Matthew 28, Leonard's already started quoting it. Come on. He says in verse 18, Jesus comes up and speaks to them. Well, first of all, I just want you to notice the order of events. The 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, verse 16, it's probably not up there. And it says, to the mountain where Jesus had designated to meet with them. When they saw him, they worshipped him. What should be the first response when you see Jesus? Lord, here's my list of all the things that I prayed for that haven't happened yet. Should that be our first response when you see Jesus? Come on. What's our first response? And we see it all throughout the scriptures. Anytime Jesus shows up, what happens on the Isle of Patmos for John the Apostle? Jesus appears before him. Boom! He's on his face. Come on. And Jesus has to say, fear not, and pulls him up. See? The holy, resurrected, powerful God. He wasn't there in judgment for John. He was just there in his holiness. And it provoked John to fall to his face. But this says they worshipped him. Some were doubtful, and Jesus comes up and speaks to them. Who was the doubtful one whose name will forever live in infamy? I'm sorry if you're called Thomas. Some are doubtful. And we have doubt in our life at different times, but don't allow that doubt to move into denial and disobedience. You can doubt because we don't understand everything that happens on this planet. And God doesn't judge us for that. Well, he doesn't judge us, period. I got to say this statement. You can fix it later. God does not judge you or me. Things happen in your life, it is not the judgment of God on you. Cancer comes in and attacking your body, that is not the judgment of God on you because you did something wrong 27 years ago on a Thursday. That is not the judgment. God will not judge you. He disciplines us. He corrects us. That's 99% internal.
Amen.
Okay? He does not judge you. Say, God doesn't judge me. Some of you are questioning that. He took all of the judgment that we were due and placed it on Jesus. All of his judgment has been fulfilled or accomplished or completed. The judgment against us for our personal individual sin, come on, sin nature, has already been done away with. The judgment has already happened. Now, we judge ourselves all the time. We'll put ourselves in judgment, and we'll cause ourselves to feel as if God is judging us, or circumstances happen. I get so tired of hearing some of the TV guys who are blaming everything on God all the time. You know, an earthquake happened over here. Oh, God's judging those people for this. What? Read your Bible. God took out all of his judgment on mankind on Jesus Christ. Now, if you don't accept what Jesus has done, you can step into that judgment out here. He's already taken it for you, but you have to receive the forgiveness for that judgment and the cleansing and the power of that forgiveness of what Jesus did, his sacrifice. You can put yourself out in the judgment if you want to. But God is not judging you. It'll change your prayers if you understand that. God is for me, not against me. You sing a song right here. God is for me, not against me. Who can be against me if God is for me? He is not judging us. Amen. The mercy of God. What's mercy? Giving you what you didn't deserve. I'm speeding and I'm doing 85 and a 55 and they get pulled over by the state's finest and they come on up and they say, you know how fast you were going? I go, pretty fast. And he says, this is going to cost you three. I don't even have any clue. I'm just making up a story because I don't do that, but I stay at only 10 over because I'm in Indiana and you guys drive 10 over or it's like that's the speed limit. But anyway, no judgment. But what happens? He comes up and he says, I'm going to write you a ticket, son. And that's going to be $350 or whatever it is. I throw myself on the, what's the word? We throw ourselves on the mercy of the court or on the mercy of the officer. And he gives you a ticket anyway. I found a little secret. You can go to court and sometimes fight it. If the officer doesn't show up, it gets dismissed. Anyway. That was just a slight little, you know. Pastor wants me to tell myself. Because I stupidly one time was driving down this road and it said road closed up ahead. And they had one of those things out halfway around there. And I thought, I'm only going halfway up the road to where this particular church is. So I went around the sign, came up over the rise, and here they had about 10 cars pulled off to the side. It was ticket day. And so they're giving all these tickets to people for going around the thing that said road is closed up ahead, right? The police officer said, I'm so sorry, I have to do this. She says, but if you go to court to fight this, I probably will be busy that day and I won't be able to testify against you.
Oh, nice.
So that's how I know that. So I went there, case dismissed. Anyway. Anytime the devil brings up something to your memory, to your mind, and says, you need to be judged for this. You should be feeling bad about your past. You should be feeling bad about what you said, what you did, all this stuff like that. You need to hear the words, case dismissed.
Amen.
The judgment has already been paid.
Yes.
The case is dismissed. Yes. They have no grounds to prosecute you. All right, anyway. So, share the good news. Don't keep it to yourself. Share with your life. So we saw this right in here. Jesus comes up to them. They worship and he says, all authority. Now you can help me, Leonard. All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This is Jesus' promise. He said it to us. We prayed it at the beginning today. He's always with us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He is with us to the end, even if you don't have the last Chinese name, surname Lo. Never mind. You've got to read King James. Boy, that joke was really, really bad. I think I've done it here before and got about the same response. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and Lo! Mr. Lo, who runs a Chinese restaurant, never mind. And Lo, I'm with you till the end. So even if my name's not Lo, this is so teacher motive, isn't it? This is like me in the middle school having to explain my really bad jokes, the dad jokes, to them when I was teaching middle school. Anyway, he's with us to the end. What do you do? This is the last words of Jesus. How do we know? They're in red in most Bibles. This is the last word of Jesus. It says, and he came and he said this. You go do something. You tell people. You make disciples. You go on out and do something. Talk about Jesus. Bring Jesus up in the conversation this week. Tell somebody about Jesus. Just even if you said, hey, our church has got this thing going on. Don't really know what all it is, but there's food involved, I'm sure. Or there's snacks afterwards type of a deal. You haven't been to church in a long time. You've never been to church before. Why don't you come with me this next Sunday? 40,000 churches around America are having this happen right now. They're coming in just to let people know about Jesus and that Jesus loves them. That's all you got to say to somebody. You and I do not really comprehend this because we've forgotten what it was like to be unsaved. We've forgotten the desperation and the hunger and the hopelessness and wishing that there was some way I could feel better. And we forget that as we grow and we mature in Christ, or we grow up in religion or whatever it is, and we forget the fact that people are hungry for Jesus. I was telling you about that youth thing and never got that far, did I? So two Saturdays ago, I went to this thing in Grand Rapids called The Send, and they can seat thousands in Van Andel Arena, and there were at least 6,000 people there, and probably conservatively 80-85% of those that were there were under 30, if not under 25. And that heartened me. Last time I saw this was when I stopped at one of the Kansas City meetings back in 2000. There were 13,000 high school and college students there. And I thought, because I was teaching middle school at that time, and I thought all of America was going straight to hell. Because I did not find one Christian in the school, public school I was teaching in. And then I stopped at that place in Kansas City and saw 13,000 young people worshiping Jesus and thought, America can be saved! You know, America can be saved. God is moving. That's the last time I saw that. Well, guess what? Now there were like 6,000 at this place in Van Andel. And in the third song, one of their evangelists from Circuit Riders came on out and stood up and began to just preach a simple gospel. And hundreds of people went to the front and got saved. So they could enjoy the next 8 hours of the conference. God is on the move. Are we aware of it? Come on, he can move here just as easily as he can up there. I found an interesting fact. Grand Rapids was the first place Billy Graham ever preached when he started holding crusades. And this was the first one that they were having, this send thing. To send out all these young people to be missionaries. Come on. God is on the move. Let's be aware. Don't be saying, oh, you know, I've tried that before in years past. They didn't want to hear about salvation. Come on, it's a new day. It's a new hour. They've had a lot of more rough living in their life. They may finally be like the pig pen down at the bottom. And he goes, hey, maybe I ought to go back to my father's house. When he came to the end of himself. And you don't know, but your neighbor, your relative, they may be at the end of themselves right now. And they're just hoping somebody would throw them a lifeline. And that lifeline could be you telling them about Jesus, or at least getting them to come to church where they can hear about Jesus. Amen? Amen. I won't try the who will give me five more minutes here, because you guys already know it too well. Let's do one more point here. 2 Corinthians 5. And I had, you know me, those of you who know me, I have another 8 pages that I haven't even touched. But and it was really good stuff. So maybe I'll be invited back later and give you that really good stuff sometime. But I even had a new joke for you. I did. Because out of Mark chapter 5, where it talks about the demoniac, the Gadarene demoniac, and how he's delivered, and that whole point was go tell somebody. Because at the end of that story, I don't know if you remember the story. Remember, Jesus leaves the crowd, the multitudes. He's healed Peter's mother-in-law, and he's gotten in a boat. He's preached out to the crowds, the multitudes, and the parables about the soils and all this. He gets on the boat. He goes across. There's a great storm. He's asleep up in the front of the boat. Remember the story in Mark chapter 5? It's over in Luke 8 also. But Mark chapter 4 and 5. And what happens? Jesus is asleep. The disciples come and shake him, wake him up. Don't you care that we're drowning? And Jesus looks up, stands up and says, shut up wind, shut up waves, and then rebukes them for their lack of faith. Right? Because what did he say before they were going to cross the Sea of Galilee? He said, let us go to the other side. See, they already had the word and they forgot the word. And the word was with them, but they forgot the word that was with them had said, we will go to the other side. Anyway, so Jesus gets to the other side and he casts the demon out of that Gadarene. And that was my sermon title for that today, for sermon number 3, was going to be, go tell somebody. You got to go tell somebody. Because at the end of that story, Jesus has delivered this guy. Remember the story? Cast the demons into the pigs. Everybody remember?
Yes.
And the pigs didn't even want to be possessed to the point where they ran to the cliff and committed suicide. That didn't go over. All right, let's try this one. It's the first case that we have in the Bible of deviled ham. I got a chuckle out of a couple of you. But at the end of that story, the man who's been delivered, the town comes out and they freak out. And they beg or pray or beseech Jesus, please leave our area. They were amazed at what he had done, but then they also wanted him to leave. This is the response of some people. They're amazed when they see the change in your life that Jesus has wrought and what Jesus can do for them, but then they still want you to leave. In the midst of seeing what the devil is doing, they're so afraid of what Jesus could do for them that they want him to leave. And it says in the demoniac, the former demoniac, comes to Jesus at the boat and he says, please take me with you. Jesus answered two prayers. He let the devils get in the pigs and he let the people who want him to leave, he left. And the man, though, he comes up and his prayer is, take me with you, Jesus. I want to be around you. And Jesus says, no, stay here, go home, witness to your friends and your family. And then it says, the very next chapter, all of Decapolis, 10 towns, heard about his deliverance. It was such a massive thing. See, Jesus didn't answer that prayer because the guy was in fear, I believe, the guy was in fear that he would become possessed again if he was away from Jesus like that, in proximity. And Jesus said, no, I've delivered you, you're delivered. Now go tell somebody else about it. And they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony and even loving their lives not unto the death.
Amen.
And so that man went on out and he had a great... He was a walking billboard for the power of Jesus Christ and deliverance.
Hallelujah.
Everywhere he went, he was like, hey, that's the former demoniac. That's the guy that cut himself and they couldn't bind him with chains. He'd break them off and he lived in the cemetery. That's that guy. But look at him now. He's in his right mind wearing clothes and he's talking about Jesus who delivered him. Come on.
Amen.
You and I have testimonies. We are walking billboards for Jesus and what the testimony of what he's done in our life. All right, last scripture. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And most all of you know this. If we had time, we'd develop it all. But I'm already 1 minute over time. So let's just read through here. Look. Verse 16. We just quoted it a minute ago. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh, even though we've known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. Now, just a side point, caveat here. Paul was similar to Jesus' age. Don't you know Paul probably heard Jesus preach? Don't you know? Come on, in Jerusalem. Do you think Paul might have been part of the group of the Sadducees or the Pharisees and the scribes when they would go and try and trip Jesus up? So he's saying, we don't know him just after the flesh. We know him after the Spirit now because his Spirit now lives on the inside of us. So we don't know him in the physical body right now. We know him because he lives in us through the Holy Spirit. And then it goes on to a verse that many of you know, and we should know. Therefore, and again, if you see a therefore, find out what it's
therefore.
Go back to the context preceding this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is. If who's in Christ?
Anyone.
God so loved the world. If anyone is in Christ, anyone can be in Christ, can come to Christ. He is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, new things have come. All of these things are from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he's committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, everybody say therefore. Come on, one more time. Therefore, we are, not gonna be, not even should be, but we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God was making an appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled, be brought back into right relationship with God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf that we could become the righteousness of God in him. He made him, Jesus, to become sin on our behalf that we could become righteous in Jesus Christ. You and I are ambassadors. Come on. Are we the lazy kind that just go sit in the compound and have everybody wait on us and feed us? Or are we the kind who actually goes out and represents the nation that they're from? You and I are called to represent. Turn to somebody and say, you're called to represent. Come on, you're called to represent Jesus. You're called to go on out. So who's that one person that you could share the grace of God with this week? Make an intentional point of being an ambassador for the kingdom of God this week, and remember to invite them to come next week on that back to church Sunday. Amen?
Amen.
So go and tell somebody. That's what Jesus said to the demoniac after he delivered him. He was set free. Go and tell somebody. Go and tell somebody the great things that God has done for you. Are you stirred up a little bit?
Amen.
You're at least stirred to go, right? Because we got food waiting on us. Lord, we just thank you for the power of your word. We thank you that even though it's been flying through all these scriptures real quick, that your spirit is bringing things to our remembrance. You've shown us people that we're supposed to invite. You've shown us people that are ready for harvest. Those that are ready to have the seed watered and those that are ready to have seed planted. Lord, we just thank you this week that you will make it apparent to us that we'll have no option, but we'll see the neon sign lighting up over them that this is the person you want us to talk to. And we thank you, Lord, for a move of your spirit, even here in Elkhart, even here in River of Life. We know you're already moving. But Lord, we just thank you for increase. We thank you for increase in your kingdom, that more people can be touched, more people can be affected. Let this place, why not us? Why not now? Why not here? Lord, that's still our prayer, that you would move and use us. And Lord, those of us that are a little bit more mature, older in age, there's still a place for us to be the Joshuas and Calebs that go into the promised land and help lead the younger generations. So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you take this word and you propel us to get out and do something with it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Dave. Let's give the Lord a praise. We're going to get ready to receive an offering for Brother Dave. So make your checks payable to River of Life and we'll write him one check. And we thank the Lord for the opportunity to sow into his life. And we appreciate him. So make sure today... Yes. Amen. Amen. We do appreciate him. Yes, we love having you. Thanks for coming. And so if you can get your offering ready, and as we receive that offering today, the praise team is going to sing our closing song. But let's bless the offering. Let's hold it up. Father, thank you for this seed that you've given us to sow. Lord, we just thank you, Father, that as we sow into Brother Dave's life, Lord, that you bring increase to him. Lord, that you continue, Lord, to increase his revelation and understanding. Lord, bless him as he comes and he goes to the body of Christ. Lord, thank you, Father, for increase in him and also increase in every church, Lord, that he ministers in. And we thank you, Father, for the word that's been sown today in Jesus' mighty name. And the church said, amen. Amen.